is Frederick Focus. News Radio 930 WFMD talks to newsmakers throughout Mid-Maryland with your host, Ryan Hedrick.
And welcome into the show. I hope you're enjoying your weekend. A real treat here. Charlie Smith joining us, state's attorney for Frederick County, as we talk about domestic violence. And before I bring on Charlie, I want to give you some context for domestic violence. On the average, nearly 20 people per minute in the United States are physically abused by an intimate partner. During 1 year, this equates to more than 10 million women and men. Furthermore, 1 in 4 women and 1 in 9 men experience severe intimate partner physical violence, intimate partner contact sexual violence, and or intimate partner stalking with impacts. And we'll break all that down and what it means for Frederick County. I want to bring on Charlie Smith, very tough, and we're very thankful he's very tough on domestic violence, as it is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Charlie, thank you so much for making time for us. How have you been?
I'm doing great. You know, unfortunately, busier than ever. As I say, unfortunately, business is brisk at the state's attorney's office. We don't want that, but we certainly welcome our role and do what we can to promote public safety. You know, community awareness of stuff like domestic violence, of course, as I think you mentioned, this is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. So,
yeah, when you say you're busy, Charlie, specifically, what kind of cases are coming into your office more? Are you seeing murders, carjackings, robberies? What are you busy with these days?
Now, I know this sounds self-serving, but really domestic violence, it's unfortunate. When you take a look at our indictments that we hand down weekly, more and more of them are really severe, domestic violence types of cases, strangulation, beatings. It's terrible. It's just, it really is an upward trend. And it's something that we're trying to promote, not only during the month of October, but year round. I mean, people need to know it. With COVID, it's just been crazy. I mean, with all the people that have been cooped up, so to speak, a lot of stressors, whether it's financial or otherwise, has just led to an increase in domestic violence cases from my office.
Now, how is domestic violence defined in Maryland? Is it if you just push your partner because you're in an argument? Do you have to actually physically slap them or bear hug them? What would necessitate a domestic violence charge that your office would pick up and prosecute somebody with?
Well, there isn't per se a domestic violence offense. The assault offenses, I mean, it could be stalking. It can be it can be child abuse as a form of domestic violence as well. So there's nothing that specifically connotes a domestic violence offense. We have a designation called a domestically related criminal charge or whatever. So we have that because it's pertinent for sentencing, but there is no separate charge for domestic violence.
Now, there's a statistic, and I'm reading these from the NCADV.org, which is the National Domestic Violence Awareness website that we pull information from. It says on any typical day, more than 20,000 phone calls will be placed to domestic violence hotlines nationwide. How much of that do you think filters down or trickles down to Frederick County?
Unfortunately, a lot. I think domestic violence is not one of those things that we see that's in an urban area, particularly like maybe some homicide rates, et cetera. Domestic violence is something we see spread out, suburban, urban, rural, throughout the United States. And bear in mind, hey, in the numbers that you just threw out, domestic violence has always been one of the more underreported crimes nationally, along with like child abuse. I think it's one of those things that people want to keep in the family, so to speak. They don't want people to know that dad's doing this to mom, or that, so-and-so touched, your daughter. You know, we just don't want anyone else to know about it. I think there's still a stigma that is attached to these types of crimes. But we're doing what we can to really promote more reporting. So, unfortunately, we want to see those numbers go up because we know it's actually happening.
When you have an offender in court, as we talked to Charlie Smith, he's the state's attorney for Frederick County here, and he does a fabulous job. And if you talk to law enforcement, they will tell you both on the record and off the record that Charlie goes to bat for law enforcement, which we love because nationwide there's a police sentiment. I digress, though, Charlie. My question kind of centers on the defense of a typical domestic abuser. When you get these people in court and you're trying them, why did they say that they did it? Is there a commonality with all these defendants? They say, I did this because this, or is it different?
A lot of times, well, first of all, they're one of the more highly tried cases, along with, rapes and child sex offense and stuff like that, child pornography. People don't like to admit that they did it. People don't like to be held accountable for these types of offenses. And it's because, the vulnerable victim type of aspect of it. Judges, police, prosecutors, even defense attorneys, that's not what you'd like to see in an offender. But when somebody preys on somebody who's vulnerable, they get a stiff sentence because of it, because it's repugnant. And so a lot of times these cases go to trial. They don't accept responsibility. But for the smaller domestic violence incidents, we also want people to report them. We want to get them help. I mean, we're not looking to break up families. Domestic violence is terrible, but sometimes there are stressors. Sometimes people act inappropriately. As I tell, people, sometimes we have good people making bad decisions, but we're not looking to destroy a family or destroy an occupation. We're looking to make sure it never happens again. So there are resources out there for offenders as well to say, hey, look, if you're under a lot of economic pressure, if something's going bad, you can't do this. A lot of times, unfortunately, alcohol is involved with it. So some of these offenders have alcohol issues that we try to address as well. So we try to bring a big picture approach to all of this. And I know some people are like, oh, you can't be soft on them, but it's not that we're being soft on it. We're just being smart on it. We we'll put you in jail. If it's a terrible offense, you're going to jail. There's no doubt. But if it's, like you said, if it's a shove or something, a slap or something along those lines, a lot of times we don't get reported cases because these women realize that this person's the breadwinner. They don't want to destroy their family. They don't want to destroy their marriage or the relationship or their household. So, again, we try to approach it from the big picture.
Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and we are actually smack dab right in it. October 1987 is when it was launched, so we're talking about 30 years plus of an awareness of a month. That really should be an entire year. Your thoughts, Charlie, do we get more awareness, more prosecutions even, more attention paid during this month? I mean, it's obviously a pretty serious thing that tears apart homes, but do you find yourself working with community entities more this month because there is that awareness factor?
Absolutely, we do. Obviously, the awareness of what the crimes that are occurring happen throughout the year. But what we like to focus on during Domestic Violence Awareness Month is the organizations that are out there, the resources that are out there to support victims and survivors of domestic violence. We focus on accountability, but we do that throughout the year. This is the time we say, hey, listen, there are resources out there. Please report it, and we will help. We will help you. We also like to highlight our Frederick County Domestic Violence Coordinating Council. Brett Engler, who's an assistant state's attorney in my office, serves as the co-chair for that. And this is a partnership of a lot of local agencies and even the community. There are residents on it as well. And we help shape policies to address this critical issue.
What organizations, Charlie, are in Frederick County that people should be aware of? Maybe a victim is listening to this show and she or he thinks there's no way out. What organizations can they visit, and what role do these organizations have in getting the actual victim out of the situation they're in, if there's a willingness on their part?
Well, the two bigger partners that we have on our team are, of course, Frederick Health Hospital. They are really critically important to the victim services piece. We want people to know that they can go to the hospital. We have forensic nurses who are trained in this, and they are just outstanding. They really, really are. Dr. Pam Holsinger at FHH is on our victim services subcommittee, and she just does an incredible job with all of her people over there. In helping victims of this crime. We also have Hartley House. They obviously have been at the forefront of this for many, many years. They have attorneys there that help people out. They have other resources there in terms of community engagement and offender programming. So they're the two big ones. We have Child Protective Services involved because a lot of this happens in front of children. Frederick County Public Schools have a place at the table. Parole and probation, the health department, because mental health is often a problem. So we have various community partners, both nonprofit, government, and private at the table to help address domestic violence in Frederick County.
When you're looking at the school level, that's interesting that you pointed out as we talked to Charlie Smith, state's attorney for Frederick County, about Domestic Violence Awareness Month. At the school level, it must be a very grassroots thing to spot domestic violence. Is there any assistance that the state's attorney's office lends to school officials to help spot what may be the very beginning stages of violence at home, or maybe an escalated issue of instances of violence at home?
I think people underestimate the importance of our school system in this particular issue. Kids oftentimes are witnessing this, and the women don't come forward. Obviously, we talked about that previously, the reasons why they don't. But the kids will relay this to a counselor at school, to a guidance counselor, who then is able to report it at that point. That's who they trust. They trust their teachers and their coaches and these close people. We see it out of the faith community. We see it from pastors. So these are the people that these kids go to because they're witnessing it. Oftentimes they don't show evidence of it unless it's a child abuse situation, but they play a very, very important role. And we encourage kids to come forward and let us know what's happening in the household. A lot of times the person undergoing the abuse is not going to come forward.
Charlie, can a domestic violence offender be rehabilitated, or do they need to be rehabilitated after offending?
Absolutely. I mean, we believe in rehabilitation. We believe in punishment, but we believe in rehabilitation. It's one of the reasons why we're also involved in, families of incarcerated parents and stuff like that. We are children with incarcerated parents. We realize that at some point in time, you pay your price. Don't do the crime if you can't do the time. Once you do the time, you come out. We want you to be a productive citizen who doesn't reoffend. So certainly I believe that they can be rehabilitated and they can learn their lesson. Some people can't, but that doesn't mean that you kind of throw the baby out with the bathwater. So we do have resources for offenders as well.
When an offender is arrested and charges are placed on that offender, whether it be a misdemeanor or a felony, say the spouse, the victim, doesn't want to press charges, does your office pick up the charges regardless of whether the victim wants to pick them up? How does that process play out? And I think you alluded to a little bit before, if you don't get cooperation, what happens to that offender if there's hardcore evidence that that offender is allegedly guilty?
That is a great question. And yes, we still pursue it. This is one of those cases where we don't have the victim on board with prosecuting. It happens fairly frequently, actually. In Maryland, we allow the one bite of the apple, so to speak, with the spousal privilege invocation. So we will actually purposefully call a victim to the stand, have them invoke their spousal privilege, and have the case dismissed. At that point in time, the judge will find the offender not guilty. And the reason why we do that on occasion is to comply with the statute, so the next time that this happens, they cannot then invoke the spousal privilege and refuse to testify. Mm. What we often find ourselves doing is proving it circumstantially. So obviously pictures and body-worn camera footage has been really critical in being able to be successful in these prosecutions because we show the abuse that the victim endured when the police responded. So same thing with the Frederick Health Hospital. They're critical in terms of their testimony. There's certain hearsay exceptions that we can get in despite the privilege. So we have to prove it circumstantially, and we're willing to do that, and we have done that, and we've done it successfully.
When you first got into the prosecuting game, so to speak, because this is your fourth term, correct me if I'm wrong, yes, fourth term?
Yes, fourth term as the elected state's attorney in Frederick County, and I was a prosecutor here prior to that, not the state's attorney. And then actually I was chair of the of what we called the Child Abuse and Sex Offense Division back then, which covered this type of stuff. So prosecuted a lot of these cases back in the day.
When you first got into the game, though, Charlie, I mean, social media wasn't around. It wasn't going. Now social media can prove to be a big asset in prosecuting cases. When you're looking at these cases, I'm sure you have, a team working on obtaining that evidence so you could secure convictions. How has that changed your job?
Oh, tremendously. We have digital forensic evidence in almost every case. I mean, from shoplifting to homicides, somebody's using their phone to do something or their own social media or whatever. And that's very prominent in domestic violence as well, because we're able to take a look at, text messages, et cetera, other types of digital. They'll post something on, or they'll direct message somebody on social media, and we're able to get that. We're actually putting in for a grant position for a digital forensic examiner within our office, just because we've seen it so much time and time again, and certainly it would help us prosecute these types of cases as well.
You're listening to the Frederick Focus Show. I'm your host, Ryan Hedrick. If you have a story idea, and what this show does is we kind of highlight newsmakers and causes in the community, and this month is a great cause. And I'm sad to report that this cause is much needed all year round, but October specifically is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. It was established in October of 1987. More than 30 years we've been highlighting this cause that really is very serious and growing in magnitude. And Charlie Smith, State's Attorney for Frederick County, is talking about this. Let's go to cyber crimes real quick, because you brought up the digital facet of prosecuting a case, which isn't in and of itself an entirely different show. But your office is committed to eradicating cyber crimes on a very deep level. I mean, this is very troubling. Give us the magnitude, Charlie. We're seeing more and more crimes carried out against people, young people specifically, in the world of cyber. This is a whole nother dynamic, right?
Oh my, absolutely. It is exploding nationwide, not just in Frederick County. We have tip lines for people. We're trying to protect children from online predators, which has just gone up and up and up. We've seen a real spike in that. Children are online more than ever due to COVID-19 and the pandemic. Remote school, remote work. So we have to remain focused on combating the threats that these cyber predators pose to our kids. And we have in Frederick County a cyber crimes task force that was formed back in early 2019. Now we have an MOU between the state's attorney's office, the Frederick County Sheriff's Office, and the Frederick Police Department. And we actually have other federal agencies that assist us in that regard. And again, this is to really prosecute mostly internet sexual predators who exploit our children, but we've seen it go well beyond that.
Hmm. What type of activity prevalent in Frederick County? I mean, we have older people. I've heard some news stories on our airwaves, and forgive me for being naive because I just don't dwell in this world, but we actually have older people seeking relationships with younger people strictly through the internet and thinking they can get away with that?
It's funny you say that, because in that particular segment of the population, we see a lot of fraud occur. I mean, there's a lot of people that are luring people over the internet into what they believe to be some sort of a loving relationship. And meanwhile, the only thing they really want is their money. And so we've seen people lose tens of thousands of dollars to this type of stuff. And it's maddening. Again, they're taking advantage of someone who probably is emotionally vulnerable for whatever reason. What's the song say? Looking for love in all the wrong places or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they wind up losing, a lot of times losing almost all they've saved up to retire. So it's not just children. It's also adults that are subject to this exploitation.
Are people being coerced or, lured into human trafficking online? Is that popular? Is that more of a face-to-face crime?
The HT stuff is more of a face-to-face crime. We do see obviously they use the internet to advertise that they have sex available for a trafficked young lady. But usually the ladies, it's something that happens more face to face. So
human trafficking is something that is a head scratcher, because we hear it in a lot of national news stories these days with the Biden administration and the open borders. And we see a war going on between border control and human traffickers. But in Frederick County, when you talk about our local community, who is more likely to get trafficked? Is it young kids? Is it young ladies, young men? Who is being trafficked, Charlie?
Well, mostly young ladies. Girls, really, is what you're talking about. Unfortunately, as young as like 13 or 14, up until, you know, 18, even 21, you know, they get sucked into this relationship. We see a lot of undocumented, you know, people come through, you know, whether they're Hispanic or Asian. They're you know, under the threat of being sent back to their community. A lot of people leverage that, unfortunately, into bullying these young women into sexual liaisons with men. So we see a lot. We see a lot of that. But for the most part, a lot of the HT women are they're American. They're here. They're runaway girls or something that are just pissed off at their parents or their home life or whatever it is. They don't have a good home life, and they're running away from that. And into the waiting arms of really a predator who says, "Oh, you know, I'll take care of you. You know, I know your mom doesn't love you or whatever. And so come to me." And then next thing you know, they're in this prostitution ring. So it's sad. It's really sad.
You know, we're really blessed in Frederick County, as we talked to State's Attorney for Frederick County, Charlie Smith, on the Frederick Focus Show. Charlie, we have a couple of minutes, and I really appreciate you taking time out of your very busy schedule to talk to us about these very serious things. But in Frederick County, we're blessed because we don't have the anti-law enforcement sentiment that we're seeing in neighboring communities, Baltimore City, Washington, D.C., even New York and Philadelphia. Talk to us about, you know, the general support that you see for law enforcement has to be refreshing. And you have a very difficult job, but does it make your job a little easier when you have a community willing to talk to you, willing to cooperate with you, and generally likes law enforcement?
Absolutely. It's really all about being informed. I think we have, we're fortunate in Frederick County to have an informed population. So they're able to make meaningful, informed decisions about their local law enforcement. They're not going to just ride the tide of a false narrative or something like that. They're going to say, well, what's happening here locally? Is this occurring here locally? Do we have, you know, this stuff happening here locally? And really, we do not. Not to say that, you know, anybody's perfect. We do have missteps here and there, and we address them. We really do. But I think credibility with the community is critically important. And the only way you gain credibility is through transparency. So we let people know what we're doing, the reasons why we're doing it, let them make an informed decision. And they have. And the informed decision in Frederick County is that our law enforcement agencies are doing a good job. Again, they're not perfect, but they certainly aren't. You don't see these miscues like are happening in these major metropolitan areas with some of the police that are just doing really, really stupid and criminal types of things. But even in those communities, you know, I think there's a statistic out there, 99.95% of calls for service nationwide, urban, suburban, rural, whatever, result in, you know, no force whatsoever. So any other profession, industry, occupation that could tout a 99.95 success rate would have billboards up and down the highway, you know, saying, hey, this is our rate of success. And so that's the same with law enforcement. It really is. And so I think the false narrative nationally is that somehow that happens in like one out of five cases or something. And it doesn't. It happens, you know, one out of a whatever, 10,000 cases. And so, you know, I just want people to be informed. I don't want anybody to just kind of listen to the press and adopt their, whether it's right, left, center, whatever, adopt their, you know, position.
Charlie, thank you so much for your time. We always appreciate you spending some time with us on the Frederick Focus Show. God bless. We'll talk soon. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Have a great day.
Charlie Smith, State's Attorney, Frederick County, right here on the Frederick Focus Show on 930 WFMD and WFRE.